Good morning. Is there anyone that does not have a program? Raise your hand. Because right down here in front, if there are any left ushers, anybody back there? Thank you, Marianne. Right down in the front. Oh, they've got them. Thank you. If you'll notice that on the second page of your directions, it says Angelic Celebration. The audience is invited to stand and rejoice with the choir in singing the carols. And the carols are on the backside of the page you've already used at the beginning of the service. So be prepared for that. We want your participation. Also, something to be added to the program that we didn't add till yesterday, and that is the first number, Glorious. We have our trumpeter, Bob Feller, playing with us and adds a tremendous amount. So I want to give him credit for that, being with us on their first number. I have been asked to do what we did before, and I'm ad-libbing now, but this is to recognize all the people that are part of the Brethren family, the school. A lot of the choir is made up of alums, and there are a lot of alumni out here and former teachers, staff members, etc. So as you hear your era called out, if you attended Brethren High School in the 50s, please stand. I'm standing because that's when I started teaching there. I'm the only one? Oh, ancient days. Here we go. Now, anybody from the 60s? I know in the choir, yes, from the 60s and out in the audience. And back there. And from the 70s? And the 80s? How many years did you spend there, Debbie? I understand. Okay. The 90s. Yeah. And the 2000s. Any staff members, former teachers, administrators, please stand. There's one back there. Okay. And now, any parents who have sent your kids to this school, stand. Way to go. Did I cover it all, John? Okay. Okay, let's go into our musical, Wise Men Still Seek Him.
Lord, ask,
and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks will find.
Throughout the ages, God has sent prophets, angels, and then finally his Son to earth to confirm that he was, is, and always will be ready to receive and bestow upon us his gifts of forgiveness, redemption, truth, wisdom, and peace.
On Christmas, the night of the birth of God's Son, all people were called to seek the child, and through him to seek the path to love and eternal life. Now we gather this morning to celebrate his birth and to rededicate ourselves by being Christmas seekers, seekers of Jesus Christ in all areas of our lives. Seek, and you will find.
Imagine what life must have been like more than 20 centuries ago. Most people had few freedoms and little hope of better times. God had sent word through his prophets that those who despaired could expect the arrival of a Savior. This Savior would lead the faithful out of darkness and on to the promised land, where those who were seeking God's presence on earth waited and watched for the Savior to make his presence known. Year after year, they sought signs of the arrival of Messiah. Where is he, they asked? Where is the Savior? Mary and Joseph were seekers of faith and strength, and in seeking God, they made him a part of their lives in a personal way.
It gets cold these nights. These old bones of mine get mighty stiff. Wind really whips around you out here. I wish they had a warm wool coat like those sheep. Actually, I can't complain too much, though, because I have the early shift from 6 to 10 p.m. That's what old age and a little seniority will do for you. The others who have the later shifts are really going to feel the cold. Actually, I really do like this kind of work. Shepherding is all I've ever known, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. Had my own flock for about 30 years. My wife and I and two boys lived toward the eastern desert. Oh, there wasn't much pasture land out there, and we had to keep moving around to find grazing. But it was okay. Yes, it was okay. After my wife died, though, I just felt too old to keep moving around. Kind of let the boys take over. I retired to Bethlehem, a small, quiet town about 5 miles south of the capital, Jerusalem. Oh, but shepherding is in my blood. And when I heard that they needed someone with experience to take over this flock, well, I couldn't turn it down. These pasture lands belong to the temple. We're about, midway between Bethlehem and Jerusalem, where the temple is. This flock belongs to the temple, too. And why does the temple need flocks? Because there's a sacrifice every morning and evening in the temple. And these are the lambs that are sacrificed. About every other day, I take 4 or 5 of them to Jerusalem for the priest. You know, I really like this job. And not just because I can be a shepherd without moving around. I like the idea of being connected with the temple, and especially of having something to do with the sacrifices. These are the lambs that die day after day because of sin. I've thought a lot about that lately. Sacrifice for sin. I've been aware of my sin for a long time. I know the guilt, and I know I deserve God's punishment. And yet, somehow, these lambs are delaying my punishment. Day after day, as they substitute and die for me, they are somehow postponing the judgment that I deserve because of my sin. Often, as I go to the side of a mother ewe, as she gives birth to a baby, I find myself kneeling and looking at the little lamb, just born into the world, soft, helpless, can't even stand on its own feet. And I find myself thinking, little lamb, you will die for my sin. I wonder what's keeping Caleb. Orion is about a third of the way across the sky. It's time for his shift. I'll bet Thomas has got him engaged in a theological conversation again, and he's forgotten all about changing the watch. Ah, Thomas is good at this. He's young, a good kid, not a bad shepherd either, though I really don't expect him to stick with it. I have an idea that Thomas is going to be a rabbi as he gets older. He spends a lot of time studying the scriptures. Well, I'd better get Caleb. There they are, around the fire. I thought so. Look at him talk. Hey, Caleb, time to switch. Reuben. Oh, I'm sorry. Thomas and I got talking. I imagine. What were you talking about? Thomas here says there's a prophecy about Bethlehem in the scripture. That's right, Reuben. There is a prophecy about Bethlehem. I forget where it is, but it goes something like this. Bethlehem, even though you are a small city in Judah, out of you will come someone who is to be the ruler in Israel. Someone whose origins have been of old, even from eternity. He's right, Caleb. Thomas, that's from the book of Micah. Do you know what it means? It means the Messiah, the one who has lived in eternity, will somehow come out of Bethlehem and be the ruler in Israel. That he will appear in this city, that he will take charge, defeat the Romans, and be our king. That's right. The scriptures talk a lot about the Messiah reigning as king. But there are other things in the scripture about the Messiah that, well, that puzzled me, Thomas. For instance, what do you think the prophet means? I think it's Isaiah. What do you think he means when he talks about the Messiah and says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment that would bring us peace was put on him. And by the stripes he bore, we were healed. Well, Thomas, what do you make of those statements about the Messiah? I don't know, Reuben. That sounds more like someone dying than reigning. Well, Reuben, you and Thomas can talk about it all you want while I take my shift. But if you ask me, I think the whole thing seems unlikely, especially that part about coming out of Bethlehem. The most excitement that place has ever had is a registration going on now. Caesar has forced people who haven't been there in years to go back there if it's their ancestral home to get on the tax rolls. The little town doesn't know what to do with all the people. This morning, I was talking to Barkiff, the innkeeper. He said every one of his rooms is full and they're running him ragged. I need some wood for the fire. Where can I put my horse? What's a good place to eat? Oh, Reuben, it's not much of a town. You're right, Caleb. You're right. But remember, they call it David's city because David was born there. And if Israel's greatest king could come from there, I suppose the Messiah could also. Look at it from the hill here. It doesn't look so bad at night.
The The winter chill crept o'er the stillness of the evening. The day had passed. At last the city slept in peace. An evening star watched from afar and shone so brightly, as if to say this day would bring a love that would not cease. In days of old it was foretold a time was coming when wondrous things would bring a new and glorious day, when God the Father
was gray, the clouds turned daylight into darkness, as if the earth itself were searching for a son. A mother's heart was torn apart by grief and anguish. The day she saw so long ago had finally come.
He stood accused, his body bruised, hands pierced and bleeding. The one who knew the lowly comfort of a storm. The babe that angels once proclaimed as King and Savior gave up his life to be the greatest gift of all.
A few moments, we stood there, looking at the city below us, quiet, peaceful. peaceful in the night. While we were looking, I was conscious of a light beginning to gather around us. What is it? I looked at the fire, but it was dying out. And yet, around us, it was getting brighter and brighter. Something mysterious was happening. And then the light began to blaze. I heard Thomas under his breath, the glory of the Lord. And suddenly, a being, some shining being, was hovering above us. And Thomas was saying, "The angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord." Caleb was frozen, and I was afraid. And then this being said to us, "Fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy to all people. For your sakes, there has been born today in David's city your Savior, your Messiah, Lord. Here is what to look for. Look for a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger."
Father. And then they crucified him.
After the angel of the Lord had finished announcing the birth of Jesus the Messiah, then out of the light around him came other voices, and other forms began to appear, stretching across the sky, and there was a great thunderous sound as from one end to the other they sang, "Glory to God! Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of his favor."
Oh,
And then they were gone. Not a sound. We began to look at each other. Caleb was dazed. But Thomas, oh my, Thomas was aglow. The prophecy, Reuben, the prophecy, the Messiah in Bethlehem. Reuben, can we go? Can we go? Yes. Yes. Caleb, stay with the sheep. Come on, Thomas, let's go. And we ran. Oh, we ran as you can only run at night, feet scarcely touching the ground, tearing across pastures, leaping brooks, dodging rocks, and through the gate into the city. We passed Barkith with a load of wood. Oh, but we did not stop at the inn. We rushed around to the stable at back and burst inside, and a man was there. And I saw the baby. And I went and knelt beside him and looked. Just born into the world. Soft, helpless. And suddenly, I understood the words of the prophet. He will be wounded for my transgressions. He will be bruised for my iniquities. The punishment that will bring me peace will be put on him. And by the stripes he will bear, I will be healed. And I found myself thinking, little lamb, you will die for my sin.
Oh, Ultimate meaning of Christmas, God's eternally valuable gift to us. Yes, Christmas is about Christ's birth, but it is ultimately about why Christ was born. To live a perfect life before God and qualify as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Christ's coming is imminent. All the prophecies which must be fulfilled before his return are completed. He will descend with a shouted command, the voice of an angel, and the trumpet of God. All believers, living and dead, will suddenly meet the Lord in the air. Like an eager bride, the church waits for the final culmination of her union with her groom.
We do not know when the Lord is coming back to this earth. But this we do know. His arrival is closer today than it was yesterday. He could come at any time to take his church to his Father's house. There will be no time to prepare. That is why we must always be ready. You see, the requirement for salvation is that we take freely the gift that God offers us. He offers us forgiveness. He offers us life. He offers us joy. He offers us abundance. He offers us his only son. He could come today. Are you ready? Seek him with all your heart.
There's a hunger
thirst for truth that must be satisfied. My journey took me halfway to homelessness, but now his light. What is there? Still seeking through the shadow of night, they search for the
if that's not the truth, I'm not sure anything is. You know, the Apostle Peter, he makes it very clear to us that we can't be redeemed with things from our own futile way of life, things like silver and gold. He says the only way we can be redeemed is through the precious blood. Blood is of a lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, I love when Wes is up here and he was showing us just the emotion of seeing a little baby born into this world, a baby who was 100% God and 100% man. It's a mind-boggling thing, hard to understand, and yet that child lived as a man, lived an entire life, never once sinned, so that as a spotless, completely perfect lamb, he could give his life for the sins of the world. And that's exactly what he did. He allowed himself to be arrested, to be punished, to be beaten, and ultimately to be hung on a cross, where he willingly gave up his life. And when he did that, the Bible's very clear, God punished him for the sins of every human being who has ever lived or ever will live. God made a way for you and for me to be set free from our sins, once, for all, forever. All we have to do is accept that truth. It's like God wrapped it all up as a nice big Christmas present and he offers it to you and me, and all we have to do is unwrap it and make it ours. And when we do, the Bible says we are moved from death to life. We're moved from darkness to light. We simply are moved from the family of humanity into the family of God, and we will then belong there forever and ever and ever. This is God's plan. My hope, my prayer, is that no one walks away from here today without telling God thank you for that gift and receiving it for themselves. They're going to sing that song one more time for us. And as they do, I would invite you to stand. And if one of you or any of you are sensing that the Holy Spirit is drawing you right now, God's calling you to make that choice, or you just want to know more, you can slip out of your seat and come down here in the front, and I'd be really happy to talk with you this morning. Let's stand together and pray. Heavenly Father, I am so grateful for the gift that you have given us, that you yourself would become one of us and ultimately die for us. And so, Lord, as we look to you right now with gratitude in our hearts and joy as we look toward the future, a future, Lord, where we get to live with you forever, I ask right now, God, that you would touch our hearts and let us know that you are here and that your love rests on each of us through Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.